Yeah, industry insider on this fabulous Thursday after the UTV World Championships. Tonight, we're going to have a pretty good conversation, man. The vibe is still real high after the UTV World Championships. We're going to talk with a couple people. We're going to talk with Brooke Jensen of Brooke Jensen Racing and her her co-driver, Anthony. It's going to be pretty cool to talk with them. They actually have a pretty cool story. So if you guys are joining us right now, get ready to ask her some questions, man. They had a pretty awesome race. They ended up getting, I think, second or third. And, man, they did so good. But, yeah, jump on and ask her questions. You know what I'm more interested in, I think, is actually, like, how she gets ready for the races, what she does physically. Brooke has some stuff with her health that she explained to us on a show a while ago. And it's super cool to see her out there, like, just kicking ass, man. So hopefully you guys can hang out with us and ask her some questions. So we're going to wait till Brooke comes on and sends us a request here. And then once she does, we'll talk with her a little bit about how her race was and stuff. So, yeah, like I said, join us. Share with your friends, too. Sharing is caring these days. Oh, yeah. You guys could probably see him. There's our buddy Scully, IMG Motorsports. That's where we're at right now. We're at IMG Motorsports. We got PRP guys in the background. We should ask Brooke what seats and harnesses and stuff she. Since we're going to the dunes next week, that's going to be fun. I wonder if Brooke's ever been to the dunes, actually. We should ask her. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, how are you?
Doing awesome. How are you?
Doing great. It's been a rough day, but we're here now, and that's what counts.
Yeah, exactly. So just a proper introduction. So Brooke Jensen Racing, thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. You did an awesome job at the UTV World Championships. We were saying the vibes are still pretty high from the UTV Worlds, and I think you guys came away with, what, second place, you said?
Yeah, we finished second place, and I think we were, like, on across the finish line fourth overall when we started pretty much dead last. So we're so stoked.
So I want to lay down a little bit of a backstory because you have actually done a full episode of the Dirt Life Show with us. You talked about your life, how you got into racing, the things you have to deal with on a daily basis. I'd like to actually ask some pretty important questions, but if you don't mind maybe telling everybody what you usually do on a day-to-day basis and what your illness is.
Yeah, so I work full time, kind of just like the extra income, and I'm looking to buy a house pretty soon. So
look at you, entrepreneur.
Yeah, I've been working since I was really young, so I'm super proud of that. And then I currently am still dealing with Lyme disease. I've had Lyme disease since I was 4 years old. I got bit by a tick when I was riding a dirt bike, and it just affects my day-to-day basis every single day.
So, actually, since we had your episode, I've had numerous people actually comment in and ask me if they can get in touch with you. I just give them your direct message, or I don't know if they contact you or they ask me questions about you and stuff like that, because they're so amazed at how you go out and, I don't know, it's not even like living your best life. Like, you're beating life now at this point, right? Because, like, you're out there running long distance endurance desert races with an illness like that. It's got to be so difficult, and I'm proud of you. Like, to achieve second place at UTV World Championship with all of that, like, against you is so sweet.
Yeah, definitely. And honestly, like, looking back on the week of UTV World Championships, getting ready for the race, a week prior, I was really, really sick, and I was really scared that I wasn't going to be able to get my body healthy enough for the race. So I was kind of out of it. It didn't feel like it was race week. I just kind of was, like, last minute putting everything together, just because it just – it didn't feel right, you know. When I'm dealing with my Lyme and when I'm sick, it's just I have brain fog. I am down. My joints are horrible. I feel like I can't get out of bed, and I have to push myself every day to keep getting out of bed so that I can continue to live the life I want to live. Ever since I was little, I'd always tell my mom, you know, I will never let Lyme disease control me. You know, I control Lyme disease. So that's been something that I live by. That's helped a lot. But day to day, it's really, really rough. But I just get through it, you know. And then things like this happen, and we went out to UTV World Championships, and we proved ourselves. And looking back at it, our team is just so, so stoked on that second place. We were 3 minutes off the leader. So I think if we just had another two laps, we would have caught him. or if we had a good qualifying time, we definitely would have been on his tail chasing him.
Dude, that's so cool. Well, I'm not going to dwell on it or anything, but just listening to you talk like that, like, honestly, I literally have the chills, but it's so cool to see that, because most people, like, they already have a hard time going racing just as it is, right? Because there's so much support and everything that needs to go into it. But when your team sees how much you put into your life, I guarantee they're just all in. Like, I got to work as hard as Brooke because we want to be a success. And that's why you guys achieved the goal of getting second place and could have possibly even won it.
Yeah, and it's honestly so cool to be able to even just get up on that podium. It's our first podium in our class, and we're in a turbo class, so it's been a lot to get used to. You know, we're a family team. It's my dad, it's my mom, me, my grandparents, and we go out there. My dad and me prep the car, and we have the help from a couple friends, and we prep this car, we load everything. You know, we work full time. So when we get home from work at 6 o'clock at night, you have that work brain, you're tired, you don't want to do anything. We have to get out in the garage. I have to get out my computer and email people and keep up on racing, or else it's not going to work because we don't have that full team with unlimited amount of funds.
Yeah, exactly. But you still work hard and you push through all of the stuff that you're faced with, right? But
yeah.
You know what's crazy about it? You're still so young, and you'll see, like, in a few years, you'll start seeing, like, holy cow, like, my life is so much easier because of what I've learned through racing and all of these other things. You know, I don't think you understand how many conversations I've had with people over the past year or so that don't have the same mentality as you. They just want stuff to be given to them. And I tell them, I'm like, dude, you got to respect all this stuff because it's so difficult for people to go out racing that you need to appreciate everything and really live it to the fullest.
Yeah, no, it's difficult, you know, but I have such a strong personality and I push for what I want. And until I get it, I'm not going to quit. So having that mentality and being raised the way I was raised, you know, I hope I look back in 5 to 10 years and I'm thankful for missing out on, you know, school, on prom, on all of these different things that all my friends get to do. And I hope I look back on that and, you know, I really thank myself for how hard I've worked every single day for what I will have.
Yeah, 100%. And dude, don't forget, share your story because it really, I mean, it affects me and I've been through a lot in my life. So imagine what it shows to all the other little girls out there. I mean, you're a girl, you're achieving all this great stuff. So, all right. So let's stop talking about all the sob story and stuff. Let's talk about, like, the pumped up off-road stuff. Okay. So you had your whole family out to UTV World Championships. When did you get there? Because they had UTV Worlds, they had pre-running on Monday and Tuesday. And then they had, like, the festivities on Wednesday, and then Thursday they started qualifying and doing some of the racing, and then Friday and Saturday were go time.
So, actually, we didn't get to go out the Monday and Tuesday and pre-run and do the poke around and stuff like that because I work full-time. My parents run a business of their own, so they work full-time as well. So we actually left at, like, 6 o'clock on Wednesday, and we got out there around, like, 10, 11-ish, dropped the trailer off, went back to the house, slept, woke up at, like, 4 in the morning to get to the track. To unload because everything was still loaded from the night before and then go out there and qualify. So, you know, we work full time, so we've got to make it work and be able to make our daytime job work as well.
That's so crazy. I love the dedication though. Like that means so much to me because it actually, like, when you get up on the podium, it's probably like, whoa, we did it. Like, even like battling against, like, if you had a perfect week, right? You go out there, you pre-run for 2 days, you get to kind of chill and get the car prepped up on Wednesday. And then Thursday, you kind of start getting things going. And then Friday, it's like, you know, like, and you didn't have any of that.
No, not at all. I mean, my co-driver actually was racing the gas race the weekend before. So my dad was home working on the car. I came home from the gas race. We were out into the garage until like 10 o'clock. Woke up the next day, got my car washed, the work trucks washed, all the good stuff for to get ready for that week, and then go out to the gas race Sunday while my dad stayed home and prepped the car so that I could go out there and spot for him because, you know, we have that connection in the car to where he can spot for me, I can spot for him. So went out there, spotted for him, came home, got everything ready. My dad washed the box trailer, got everything ready, and then we were able to work. I went to work at 3 in the morning on Wednesday, got off at like 1, and then we went straight out there, and it was just like now it's race time.
Holy smokes, dude. Yeah. The amount of dedication that you guys put in the program is insane. Well, that's inspiring to like every little other little girl out there that you have that much work ethic. How does it feel like when you get on the podium for that? Actually, let's get your co-driver Anthony on here too. So how does it feel like when you get on the podium with all that work?
At first, I honestly didn't really believe it.
What's going on, everybody?
At first, I didn't really believe we were in second place just because we haven't podiumed in our class yet. And I was still in shock by like the chatter bumps and holding my pee for that long because I didn't want to pee my pants that race and get up on the podium. So I was stoked. I know we were racing lap 3 and my transponder fell off. So that scared me because I was like, shoot, you know, now we're not going to be on corrected time. It's going to be off of the checkpoints. But everything went really smooth. UTV World Championships and the Martelli brothers had that plan perfect so that if those situations came up, we were still able to podium. So it was honestly just like in shock. I didn't know what to think yet.
Yeah, but you deserve it. I mean, you've been fighting for it all year. Hey, you guys want to know a fun fact? They have cameras at all, like a lot of the VCPs as well, too. So if you want to skip one and they don't see you come through, all right, Anthony. So we were just talking to Brooke a little bit. I don't know if you were listening in earlier, but first of all, we are all so proud of her for all the stuff that she does and the dedication she puts into the race program. Give us a little bit of an insight how you help the program as well.
Well, you know, I just when I'm with Brooke, I try to keep her as calm as possible and as focused as possible. You know, I try to not let her worry about the car too much. And just kind of like put that on my shoulders, like, hey, you know, if I hear something, we'll take care of it, you know. And I just try my hardest if, you know, we have an issue to try to get her back on the track as fast as possible. So, you know, it's my job to keep her focused. So
try not to. What's the usual duties that you have during the weekend or whatever? You co-drive and then you also help her wrench on the car during getting it prepped up and I don't know.
Yeah.
If bad, obviously fixing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually once I get to the track, you know, for the most part, the car is already prepped before I get there. You know, if I can, I'll try to get there the weekend before and, you know, try to do a shakedown and try to do as much prep as I can to try to help him out. And then, once we get to the track, you know, I try to take a little weight off of her and her dad's shoulders, you know, and like, try to get the car set up and play with a little bit of suspension tuning and try to fix any bugs, you know, and just try to make it easy on them. Do everything I possibly can so they can focus on trying to get a podium spot.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. So one thing that's kind of like on a more personal level is a lot of people have to get like, we'll call them like, I don't know, hired co-drivers, right? Because they can't find good people to sit in the seats. So when you see the dedication that she puts in, you know, with her situation and having Lyme disease and her dad working on the car and all that stuff, does it get you like, cause I get fired up. Like I want to go help her just because she explained to me like how the weekend went. Cause I get so amped up on the vibe that she puts out. Like, does that happen to you too when you're with her?
Oh yeah. She's a rowdy kid. So, you know, she makes me want to, you know, push myself when I'm racing, you know, and I try to push her when she's racing. So, you know, we the first time we went and tested the car together, the very next race was Silver State, and the car burst into flames with us in it. So it kind of brought us pretty close together.
I was going to say, after you burst into flames, you got a special bond after that, right? Yeah.
It was definitely something that brought us together. I freaked out and he saved me from catching on fire and burning. So it brought us together for sure. And then being stuck in the desert for 3 hours together just after being caught on fire and then the extinguisher, me sucking all the smoke. It was horrible, but it brought us together.
What's the longest you guys have ever been stuck out in the desert?
It was when we caught on fire.
I mean, it was like 3 or 4 hours.
Day when I was a kid and I was running amok and driving stock trucks and thinking that they were trophy trucks, you know, stuck for days. But in a race car was definitely when the car caught on fire.
Dude, so one of my UTV World Championships in Laughlin, I was out there for 6.5 hours just watching everybody go by, dude. It was so dark and cold by the time.
And that's so hard because you're watching them go and your car's either broke or something's going on and you can't, like, fix it. But yep. The pit's only, what, 20 miles away and you just want to walk.
Yeah, exactly. And I was doing the short course, so I was solo. Oh. I didn't even talk to, like, some of the flagmen. I walked over, talked to them. They had to decide cruise back. It was
walk
six
back.
Dude, that's like the worst of desert racing, right? Let's see here. I came to visit mom from Texas. I don't know if you know who they are. I saw them both. So much fun from Let AA.
Yeah, that's my aunt Letty.
Oh, right on. So she got to see you guys, huh?
Yeah, she flew out and it was actually, I raced the GBC short course and the gas. So right after the car caught on fire, you know, I kind of pushed Brooke into my car to race one of the classes that I was racing. Just, I didn't want her to sit out of the driver's seat for too long after something traumatic happens. So I kind of pushed her into my short course car to get her out there. And, you know, a bunch of my family flew out and came to watch that race, and they got to, you know, meet all of the, you know, all of Brooke and just
talk about a team atmosphere. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool to have two people come together. I know Anthony reached out to me for a long time, and I currently had a co-driver, and then he decided he was co-driving for a trophy truck team, so he was like, hey, I've got to stay with the trophy truck team. We can't just, you know, end our contract with them and then start racing with you. So I was like, you know, Anthony, let's give it a try. We'll put you in the car. And then from there, it just grew. And it's honestly been one of the best people I've had in that seat. And like he said, he keeps me extremely calm. When I get to the races, like, I just flip. My eyes, like, yeah, are just straightforward. I can sometimes become very anxious and just, like, on everybody, like, there's no messing around.
But you're still focused, right?
Yeah, and Anthony takes that stress off me sometimes, so, you know, when race day comes, I can kind of relax a little bit as he's kind of just doing the final touches on the race car with the rest of our pit crew, so that helps a lot, which I'm really super thankful that he's hands-on, because, you know, you get those co-drivers that want to be in that seat, but they're not willing to put their arm work in and prep the car and work on the car, and so we found Anthony, and he definitely does that.
Yeah, totally. Well, it sounds like he does. And plus, you have experience with UTVs too, right, Anthony?
Yeah. I race short course in my own car. I worked for the LeDucs back when I was in high school. I'm currently got a pro light in my shop now that I'm prepping.
Oh, look at you, big dog, making us all look like you little UTV guys.
No, it's not for me. I wish I was in a pro, but you know, I just stay in the industry as much as possible, you know, and we, when I teamed up with Brooke, you know, especially after Silver State, like, I look at her like a little sister, you know, like, hey, I try to, you know, put her in her place. I'll check her when she gets rowdy, you know, she'll check me when I get rowdy, you know, so we work together really well. And then, you know, working on UTVs, it's kind of what I do daily. You know, I service UTVs for a career, you know, in cars and trucks, so it helps when we're out there and we have an issue, it's easy for me to find it.
Yeah, dude, that's so cool. And it helps Brooke, like, I mean, you'll learn as you go along, like, how valuable that type of person is in the seat. All right, so wait, what class did you guys race this at the UTV World?
So we raced the Unlimited class.
There was a few good drivers in that class that I saw.
Say that again.
There were some good drivers in that class. Like, it looked like your guys' lap times were pretty fast.
Yeah, and it was really hard for us when we qualified. I was kind of defeated a little bit. We had a car rollover in front of us that kind of put us behind about a minute just because the way the car flipped in front of us. He flipped right in the rut. So every single time we'd put it in reverse and try to get around him, our car would just push right into him again. So it was in a canyon, so it was really hard to get around him. The Martelli brothers did offer us to qualify again, but we just decided, you know what, it's qualifying. All that matters is race day. So that put us behind. And we started off the line like fourth to last. And I was just like, all right, let's hammer down.
Yep.
There's Josh right there. Hey, Josh, you're the one that rolled in front of us.
Was Josh? Buckley Ricky says a mechanic pro in the car is invaluable. It really is.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, he said he's sorry he's a newbie.
hey that's all right. All of us have issues. On some props.
Yeah, exactly. All of us have issues, man. It looked like it was a pretty fun race, though. So maybe take us through the race in your head, Brooke, and then we'll see what the co-driver thinks of your description of the race.
So the race course is pretty cool out there. I think it's definitely very technical, and it pushes a lot of drivers out of the race very early. The race course
is a gnarly course, dude. It's so gnarly.
It's gnarly. People don't understand. It's probably one of the gnarliest courses I've ever been on.
Yep.
And it changes because it's a lap race. From lap one to lap five, it was completely different. Like, I could barely even recognize the course because of how much, you know, there's 150 cars going over that terrain. It's going to change dramatically.
Yeah, so, and even some of the line switch. I saw, like, lefts
faster
than rights, and rights become faster than lefts.
Yeah, no, definitely. And we accidentally took a wrong way, and it was like not even a little bit off the course, but we were going, and I was like, oh no, that's the wrong way. And we just like, just keep going. And I swear we were on this like hill that was a cliff on each side. And I like went to turn down the cliff just to like, we got to get down it somehow. And he's all, no, hold on. It was funny because it was the first time Anthony's ever gotten like scared in the car.
He's like, oh no, hang on.
Yeah, I think it scared him a little bit. But no, it's definitely cool how the race course changed because we got comfortable every single lap. And we there's one jump at the finish line. There's like one roller that can be a really high speed jump. Then there's the jump down the hill, and the roller we were launching it off of. I felt like, never really felt like my life stopped in air, but my life stopped in air for like a good 5 seconds before we landed.
Nice.
Yeah.
We should have got a picture of that somehow.
I know. I'm trying to figure out. I keep reaching out to certain photographers and people taking videos out there. I'm like, hey, were you guys at the finish line jump? Do you have any photos?
We should just make up a joke and be like, hey, I'll check Google Maps in 2 weeks, see if they caught it.
Yeah. See the reviews.
Yeah. So when you're out there on course, though, like you're going through, and I think you guys did what, 3 or 4 laps?
We did 5 laps.
Okay, you did 5 laps. All right, so that's a long time out there. 30-mile laps, 5 laps, and it's a insanely brutal course. Like, I don't know what the attrition was in your guys' class, but in the Pro Turbo class, I think almost two-thirds, three-quarters of the field didn't finish. There was 36 drivers, and 8 finished on the lead lap. So, or 7 finished on the lead lap, I think it was. Like, it's insane. Like, the amount of technical ability that you have to have on the track. I didn't race it. I just got to pre-run the course. So, I want to know, like, what are you thinking out there when you're driving? Are you thinking like, oh shit, I better miss that rock. I better miss, like, because you're focused for what, 2 hours, completely honed in?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how long our time was when we were out there, but it was very, when we started, we were pushing hard because we wanted to catch the field, and we didn't get the whole shot, so I was super upset at that, and then we got stuck behind 2 slow cars throughout the canyon, so that kind of set us back even more, so it made me want to push more and more. Like they said in the comments, it was the first and second lap were good, fourth and fifth, it was survival mode. Like, there was a couple times that we would bottom out the front end, and I was like, oh no, Anthony, like, I think the front end's ripped off the car, and our car survived. And the course changed so much throughout the race that it was like, you'd be in sand tight canyons, and then you'd be up in the hills and steep hills that the car's getting up. And then you'd go into the chatter bumps, and I swear the chatter bumps were so bad that, like,
yeah,
my face was jiggling. Like, I thought I was losing like 5 pounds in my arms because it was, the chatter bumps were so bad. Like, my co-driver couldn't even talk because every time he talked, it didn't come out with the right word. It was, it was crazy. But you, in order to get over those chatter bumps and get on top of the chatter bumps, you've got to go faster. So it's kind of difficult finding the happy medium throughout the race.
Does any of those things that Brooke described, Anthony, do they give you better understanding of what you can do to improve the car for the next race when it's similar to that? Like, maybe you have a setup sheet and you say, all right, 2022 UTV Worlds, here's our like roadmap to make it better than it was last year.
To be completely honest, I think with chatter bumps, as bad as they were in that course, like, I honestly don't think anything can change. Like, you know, you can have the perfect shock setup. And for that race, we honestly did. Like, the shocks were perfect. They worked very, very well the first, you know, lap or two. And then you go through a wash, up a hill, down a wash, up a hill, through a wash, up a hill, down a wash, you know, and the washes are straight chatter bumps. Like, there's no fixing that, you know. Yeah, even if you set up your suspension for chatter bumps, within a lap or two, the oil's hot, like smoldering hot, because the shocks never get to cool. The seals, you know, you got leaking seals. Yep. It's just something as a driver and co-driver, you have to be prepared for and just pretty much just suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah. Well, I like that vibe though, because you're telling her and she's probably thinking they're like, oh my God, we got to change it. Like, it's so bad. And then you're like, no, you got to deal with it. And that's what she's been doing her whole life. You know what I mean? Like, dealing with different things that come up in her life. And now she's getting to experience that on the race course. Like I was telling you, Brooke, like, that stuff is going to make so much of a difference when you start getting a little bit older and understand some serious stuff that happens. Like, it's cool that you're learning how to be such a strong person right now.
Yeah. And it's difficult. I'm not going to lie. Every day I wake up and I just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And I just feel like there's been some moments lately in these past couple of weeks that I've kind of just been kind of let down. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong where I'm not getting where I want to be? And I just kind of like, you know what, like you said today, one door closes, another one opens. So that's kind of just kind of what I look up quotes all the time. And I just kind of go by them and just hope for the best and just keep pushing for what I want. And one day the right door is going to open for me. And it's just kind of waiting for that opportunity.
Exactly. But you're making the opportunities. You're not, you're doing it. Like, you're kicking butt and moving forward. So I think Anthony, everybody that's listening will definitely agree that we're rooting for you. All right. So you get down like towards the end of the race and like you're seeing like your split times come up and you see what the corrected time is. Are you guys noticing, or Anthony, probably you're the one getting most of the info. Are you guys getting the info that you guys are up there in the top three?
Yeah. So probably lap 3 out of 5, we kind of miscalculated, me and Brooke, on how many laps we were doing. We thought we were doing 6, but right about lap 3, her dad, you know, got on the radio and was like, hey man, you guys are sitting in second right now, like, push, but keep the car together, you know. And Brooke can't hear the radio traffic coming in, but she can hear what's going out. So I kind of kept it to myself just because I didn't want her to get any more antsy and then push the car so hard that we break it. So she's like, what did dad say? And I'm like, car together, we're doing good. You know?
Yeah, and it's funny because I could hear him pause and be like, he didn't want to tell me what was going on, but I knew what was going on. And I was like, what did they say? Come on, I know they said something.
Yeah, that's so funny, though. But you guys know what needs to be said to her to make her do her best.
Yeah. Yeah, I especially sitting in lap 3 when we were thinking we were doing 6 laps. Like, I didn't want her to push too hard for first. You know, sitting in lap 3, if we were on lap 4, lap 5, and like, hey, you guys are sitting second, you know, it's time to let it rip and hang it all out there, you know, we would have hung it out there all the way, whether we broke or finished first, you know. But we were a little too far out. But then on the last lap, you know, hey, you guys are still sitting second, and it's the last lap, like, we hung it out there. Like,
nice. How did it feel when she was hanging it out? Were you like, wow, she can drive pretty good?
I knew she could drive. We had moments. We did Vegas to Reno where, you know, she was putting the pedal down, you know. Nice. and pushing, and we had some issues at Vegas to Reno, and we got them fixed, you know. The crew that was out there that weekend were on top of it. So they got the car fixed and she freaking hammered down. So when it was time, like, hey, we're in second and we're not far off of first, like, just let it fly, dude. And she let it fly. But then we got into those chatter bumps, and I'm not going to lie, I wanted to tell her, like, dude, let me out this damn car. Like, but we stuck with it and battled it out, and we came pretty close.
Yeah, that's cool. That's got to give you like a good feeling for the next few races that you have, because I think there's a couple more races before the end of the year, right?
Yeah. Our main goal right now is we're looking at the MIT 400. So I know we have some marketing stuff going on with them, so I'm super excited to see what that turns out, and then to see our results with the MIT 400. I'm just so proud of how hard we pushed and our results, you know, and it gives me more confidence and a confidence boost to work on the car more, to push for sponsorships more, to push the car harder. You know, I actually felt like I trusted the car this race, so that was really important to me. And I think we have the car pretty dialed after the whole thing burnt down at Silver State. So just kind of like that mentality, it's got me stoked to see what I can do next. You know, I've proved myself now. I can get on that top of the box with, you know, men that are 50 years old. So,
it's like a breath of fresh air, isn't it? It's like a breath of fresh air. You can
find it. It is.
Yeah, to go. Yeah.
And we've had bad luck lately, so it's like, oh.
Yeah, after Silver State and the car catching on fire, you know, I felt like I had to try extra hard to make sure that Brooke trusted the car, even when in my mind I didn't trust the car. But you know, we went and did Vegas Torino right after that, and we had the same issues that partially caused the fire, you know, so I know she was still kind of thinking about that and had that in the back of her head. So it was kind of important, UTV World Championship, to...
I think that's really...
For a podium at UTV World Championship, I think it helped more than I think either of us really believed it would.
Yeah, no, I can definitely get along with that. Like, that's actually a really good point that Anthony brings up, is when you go through all that stuff as a race team, you kind of start to doubt yourself and you doubt your team and you doubt all these things, right? Because you're like, okay, what do I have to do better to make all this stuff not happen again? And then you have like, I don't know, you're kind of uneasy, right? And then all of a sudden, like, you have this weight lifted off your shoulders after you put in all this work. It's got to feel good.
Well, and like the fire at Vegas Touring or at Silver State with the fire, it wasn't like the car just got hot and it started smoking and it caught on fire. We were pushing 80 miles, 90 miles an hour through a sand wash because we were already behind. We had already issues. We were pushing 80, 90 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I'm pushing down on the throttle and there's no throttle. And I look over at my co-driver and I swear it was almost like a dream. The flames, I mean, that fuel line was a flamethrower. It was throwing fuel that caught on fire through the cab, at our feet, around us, through the fan. Like, it was the most terrifying thing I've ever went through. And like, you can understand, George, when your accident happened, how hard it was to get back into a car. But with the mentality and the personalities we had, we were able to get through that and get back into a car. So it's very hard having that bad luck on us, and then to finally have a good finish and a good podium. It was a weight lifted off of us, and it was like I could breathe again, and it just felt so good.
It's like, it's totally a game changer, right? It's like,
yeah.
Well, you guys didn't end up like my buddy over here.
Yeah, our skin's still attached.
Yeah. Happy Halloween, everybody. Yeah. But I really do think, like, that mentality, Brooke, like, you would be surprised at how many people don't have that. They don't have that strength and that inner being to be able to push through that kind of stuff. So I'm telling you, like, I love that you have that attitude. And I'm glad that you guys were able to at least see a little bit of success now. I mean, of course, you want to win at the next ones, right? But, like, it's pretty freaking cool to be able to have that weight lifted off your shoulders, because now you have, like, a whole new, like, a clean slate, right? And you have, like, this, like, new... I don't know, like, mental attitude to go out and kick ass at the next race.
Yeah, definitely. That weight was lifted off our shoulders, and I'm so excited now that we have a great car. The setup is phenomenal. All of our sponsors have helped us so much to get this car back together and to a better setup than we had it. And now that I trust the car, now that me and my co-driver have a great connection, I'm honestly really excited to see where I can push this car to its limits. You know, I was talking to Dustin Jones, and just kind of figuring out, huh?
Who's that?
I don't know. Some guy with this, like, mullet.
And he wears really tight shorts.
Yeah, some weird jeans. But so I was talking to him and his co-driver, also Dustin, on when they pushed a car where they can push the limits to. And so I'm excited and really excited to see how far I can push this car, you know. It's to be determined.
Well, so while Anthony's walking over wherever he's going, we know you're going to do the Mint 400, but you just mentioned your sponsors, so I'd like to give you a little bit of time so that you can thank some of those people because they obviously helped you, and then we'll talk about the Mint 400.
Yeah, no, definitely. We have so many people that back us, and I'm super excited to see where we grow to in the next 2022 season. I have to give a huge shout out to the team at Polaris Racer for all they do. They have helped us tremendously, and a lot of people don't understand the background of each sponsor. You know, they see the logo, but they don't see the story behind it. So I know we've worked really hard for our sponsors. So Polaris Racer, we have Method Race Wheels. Huge shout out to them. Thank you so much. GBC Tires, we did not have one flat tire entire UTV World Championships, and they still look brand new. So shout out to them. Ridded Industries, Rugged Radios, everybody else that backs us, Heatwave, Pro Eagle, Savage UTV, King Shocks. We have so many people. So we appreciate their help. They see that we're a small family who just loves the off-road community and wants to race and has a drive to race. So I appreciate them for investing their time into us. And now we have results to show them, and I can't wait to see what other results come.
Yeah, it's super cool. You're always looking forward to like better things too, especially when you get that close to the top of the box. Anthony, did you bring any help other than helping Brooke and that to the team? Do you want to thank anybody before we talk about Mint 400?
Just everybody that supports my program, and then the people that support me when I go and support Brooke, my fiance and our kids. I take a lot of time away from the family to kind of chase my dream, and being in the car, with Brooke is part of it. So, that the support from them is awesome. It puts a lot of strain on families racing, especially, small race teams like ours, Brooke's family, they're awesome. They support me and my program. We just kind of cross support each other. And then me and Brooke together, we're both, GBC sponsored. So, GBC, thanks for putting together a freaking awesome tire. I didn't have to get out of the car one time, and Method Wheels, we didn't break any wheels. I know a lot of people were breaking wheels. So, thanks for everything. Thanks for getting me out there.
Yeah, that's super cool. And what I heard was you guys are all living your dirt life together.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
All right, so on to bigger and better things is what I think the vibe is now. So are you guys both going to do the Mint 400 together?
That's the plan.
Okay,
cool. If he can handle me for that long.
The Mint 400 is going to be pretty cool. Like you said, Brooke, though, there's some cool marketing opportunities and things like that you can do there. We might do some stuff with the Dirt Life up there, so you're more than welcome to join us. And I'm going to go up there, and I'm also going to, help the Martellis with some announcing duties. So I think it'd be cool maybe follow your guys' journey. So maybe make sure that you're texting me and letting me know how things are going up to the Mint 400 so that when your name comes up on the video screen, I can talk about you too.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be really cool. And anybody else who has a UTV truck buggy, definitely the Mint 400 is one to race. It's in Vegas, the Fremont Street, going down that with all the contingency, all the vendors, all the fans. Haven't been able to race it yet. I've gone there for 2-3 years, just literally stayed there for the week that the event goes on and, marketed myself. And now that we're going to be racing it, it's super cool. So if you have a UTV, get out there and race. It's a great race to race, and it's definitely good for marketing.
Yeah. And plus, now this year, that means you get to do the parade, huh?
Yeah,
I did the parade a couple of years ago with CMS Racing, the Australian team that I worked with for a little while. So, it'd be cool to go and do the parade with Brooke, and then, get our crew in kind of the limelight too, at Mint 400, they do a lot of work with the crew. So I'm dragging, kind of my crew chief for my short course program, Anthony. He helps me out a lot. He's come out and helped Brooke. So I'm going to drag him out there, and maybe we'll try to get the crews to battle it out on Fremont Street like they did last year.
Dude, that'd be pretty cool. Hey, so I noticed that, how do you guys even operate the crew with the crew chief Anthony and the driver Anthony? Like, that's got to be
confusing. It's even worse. So I'm Anthony, my fiance's Nikki, and we have a son Aiden and a daughter Aaliyah, and then he's Anthony, his wife's Nikki, he has a daughter Aaliyah and a son Aiden. So,
oh my god,
dude, I swear it's wicked, it's insane, but we literally like mesh perfectly. His oldest son Aiden, he comes and helps with the racing. It works really good, you know. And if Brooke's not there to spot for me in my short course race, Anthony's there spotting for me. So, you know, it's kind of talking. It feels like you're talking to yourself.
I feel like you guys have to plan that. Like, how does that even work? Dude, out?
I have crazy. No idea. And me and him, we've known each other our whole lives. So it just kind of like, I don't even know how it happened. It just did.
You guys wear the same t-shirt every day too?
Now that sponsors are sending out a lot of clothing, you know, towards the end of the year for the holidays, we'll be matching up pretty good.
That's hilarious. Okay, well, I'm stoked to see you guys at the Mint 400. I think it'll be super fun. But I am really proud of you guys. And I know, Brooke, that sometimes it's a little hard to talk about stuff like your daily life and things like that. But you'd be surprised how meaningful that is to people. I guarantee you, I'm going to get questions, and you'll probably get questions about your life even after just us having this short little conversation tonight. So no matter what you do, even if racing were to stop tomorrow, keep kicking butt at life, because that's the most important thing.
Well, thank you. Definitely. I appreciate that. And I know when we met a couple years ago, having you in my life and the Dirt Life show, it's kept me going, because I come off a bad day, horrible day. On my way home, I was crying. Horrible yep. day. And I get on here with you and Anthony and talk about racing and keep going and all this inspiration. It honestly brings me up. You know, I'm going to go now on my computer and email people, because I work full time and it's what we do. So I just want to say thank you to you and the Dirt Life Show. What you're doing is absolutely awesome. And you've been listening. There's so many people that listen to all of the podcasts and all of the lives. It's definitely a life changer when you listen to people that motivate you.
Yeah, and you're one of them, girl. Hey, yeah, and your mom, I think, is the one chiming in here saying that she's proud of you as well. So, but yeah, I really think you should be proud of yourself, Brooke. And Anthony, be proud of yourself too for lending your expert services to the team. And keep kicking butt in your ring too, dude. That's super
Thanks,
cool.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having us on here. Thanks for, you know, inviting me. I really appreciate it. It's cool to be able to talk, you know, as a group and get out there and get my name out. You know, I'm still one of the small guys in the racing community, so.
Hey, you got to remember, dude, you shouldn't consider yourself a small guy. Off-road is small, so you can be a big person in a small industry, right?
There you go.
Off-road, I like how that sounds.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, make sure you guys keep living your dirt life, though. All right, Brooke, we'll let you get to your off-road marketing duties. And Anthony, thank you very much for joining us. Please say hi to the family and you as well, Brooke.
Will do. Thank you.
We'll see you later.
See you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Dude, that's so cool, man. I love ending conversations like that, because it's so awesome to see the real life story of people and how they actually like go through all of these trials and tribulations to just race off road. I mean, it's such a small but big industry, right? So thank you guys for living your dirt life with us. We really appreciate Brooke and Anthony for joining us. We will see you guys on Monday at Four Wheel Parts in Riverside, California. You're welcome to stop by, hang out with us. But you can always catch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram Live as well. So hang out with us. We're going to have Caden Danbury on. We might talk about some of that new Polaris Razor video jump cuts that RJ Anderson did. We're going to have a whole bunch of fun. So we'll see you guys on Monday night. Thanks. Later.